Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Eric Johansson, a teacher and tutor with LSAT Demon. Joining me today is Marvin, who is an LSAT Demon student and one of our esteemed Ask Button heroes. Thanks so much for joining today, Marvin.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Eric.
So, Marvin, you have been with the Demon since fall of last year, I believe?
Yeah, I started in October on the LSAT Demon. That's when I got my first full account, took the plunge, started drilling right away all week.
Nice. Was that the beginning of your LSAT study, or was there more to it before then? Maybe just start with lay the groundwork of what your journey's been like.
Yeah, I've been studying for the LSAT on and off for the last 2 years. It kind of started with buying an LSAT prep book, prep tests, just the tests themselves, looking at YouTube videos, compiling some information. Once that wasn't quite getting me where I wanted to go, I started studying with a few tutors who were helpful. But then I got involved in a master's program, and so it became an on and off thing. But then I found out on YouTube that you could do the Demon. I'd seen some of the videos, but I wasn't really sure. I thought they were kind of live in San Francisco. But once I found you could get on, I made an account this past October.
Do you remember where you started with in terms of score? Is there a diagnostic that comes to mind?
Yeah, I always tell this story with a caveat. I got a 157. However, I had YouTube, you know, what should you do when you're going to take the LSAT? And They had mentioned diagramming and stuff. And so like I saw some diagramming, I knew that that was at least a possibility. And so I think that probably played an effect a little bit.
So you had at least some YouTube exposure to what you might see on the test.
Yeah.
So not an ice cold diagnostic, but still 157, great place to start. Now, I know you don't have your official score yet back. You took the LSAT today. Congratulations. That's great. Where have you been in your practice testing, or where is it that you're expecting to score?
Sure. Yeah. My PTs have fortunately been in the 170s, all of March. Fun thing is I didn't get a single PT in the 170s in February. And so I was starting to get a little nervous, but I picked up after maybe a week off or so and taking a break. And so then I was able to get my energy back. And so it's been, all over the 170s range. And so it's pretty exciting right now.
That's awesome. I remember from a few months back, actually, maybe from before you were even signed up with the Demon yet, you had emailed into the podcast and had asked a question specifically about making that jump into the 170s, feeling like you were kind of hovering in the high 160s, low 160s, looking for what it was that would close the gap to get you more consistently into the 170s. Do you remember what it was, what feedback we gave you at that point? And was there a lesson that sticks out that really helped you to make that final step up?
Yeah, there are quite a few lessons. It's certainly no one thing, but I know that I had a few areas I was working on. One is that I wasn't getting perfect on games yet. And so I had the opportunity after a class to pull you aside and discuss that. And you had mentioned, since I was a relative newcomer to the Demon, that maybe I'd consider bringing down the level, how high, how difficult the question will be on the logic games, bringing it down to one and just getting opportunity to flesh out some of those strategies like circle slash and things I had never seen before the Demon. And so that kind of gave me an opportunity to practice in a slower, more controlled fashion some of the strategies that the Demon had taught me, and that allowed me to eventually get perfect on games a really relatively short time. I think I might have started scoring perfect in games a week or two after that. So
nice.
Really being able to recognize those strategies, when you can use them, what kind of game are you in? Not in the archetypal way of, is this a grouping or sequence, but more of, what strategy, what type of improvisation am I going to do here? What tools am I going to use? So that was very helpful. And I think that just having confidence in the correct answer choices I was getting and drilling. Never stop drilling.
Absolutely. What about drilling is so great?
You can do it anywhere. I'm a big drooler on my phone, so I used to play chess games on chess.com whenever I had to wait somewhere, doctor's office or doing some kind of errand or standing in the line at the grocery store. And I found the app on my phone, and then I started drilling in grocery stores, drilling, waiting, maybe even in my car if traffic got really crazy on the highway or something. And that instant sort of feedback, did I get this particular question right? Did I, you can spend as much time on it. There's no clock. And, I had always wanted something like drilling. Drilling was the big thing that got me into wanting to join the Demon in the first place.
Nice. Any connections you see between chess or those other, I mean, games of other sorts, puzzles, that kind of stuff, between that and the LSAT?
Yeah, accuracy over time. By far, accuracy over speed. I mean, that's what you're sacrificing with the blitz game. You're making moves, and you have to realize you're just kind of making moves off of what you've memorized. And the higher in skill you've gone, the more kind of combinations you can remember and access very quickly. But if you never did that slow work of inputting that knowledge and information, then you're just making random moves. And
Yeah.
so I think a lot of people could see approaching something like an LR section in the same way. Speed comes from, yeah, I've been through this. I see this type of argument. I see this flaw. I've seen this flaw all the time in previous studying and homework and whatnot. And so that's how come I recognized it so quickly. That's where the speed is coming from. And so my blitz games, the ratings on them are far lower than sort of my longer games in which
Sure.
I'm taking my time, and I think the same applies on the LSAT for sure.
Absolutely. I'm interested by something you said. You mentioned that you didn't see a score in the 170s in February. You had previously reached the 170s and then saw a little dip back down and then found your way back into the 170s. It didn't leave you completely. You didn't lose it. It came back in March. But yeah, I wonder, do you know why that was? Was it something that concerned you while you were going through it? How did you get your way out of it?
Yeah, my first PT in the 170s in December, and that one was actually a combination of sections. And I don't remember signing up for the January test, but I was going to sign up for February, and then I accidentally forgot the deadline. A little funny story behind that, and went into January. Got a few more PTs in the 170s, but was still mostly in the 160s. Spent February in the 160s completely, 165, went through 169, pretty much no 170s at all in sight. It concerned me, but I think that what I was going through at that time was sort of a combination of mastering each individual section. There are some ways to improve in RC, some ways to improve in logic games. On some days, you do very well on logic games, but then you fell short in those areas of weakness in reading comp. And you just have to kind of give yourself grace because it's like a juggling act and you're just keeping all of these balls in the air and trying to maintain that. Working with others was pretty much what got me through February, I'd say, in addition to taking a break. And so I took a break. I had to go out of town for 2 weeks. And so I drilled a little bit and then eventually gave that up and just gave everything up completely toward the end of February. And then also just having folks who are kind of at your level because they were also gunning towards getting into the 170s, and it took them same amount of time. It took us all time before that was kind of a consistent score for us. So having that kind of encouragement from them, but then also the comparison that it's just taking everyone different amount of time. And yeah, that was very helpful.
Nice. And these were people who you were in a study group with, meeting with regularly.
Yeah, so shout out to the people I work with that I've met on the Demon Discord. If you're not on the Discord, get on the Discord because there's wonderful opportunities to work with people who are right in your skill level or right above. And in no way an advertisement, it's just exactly what my experience has been. And so I had put out that I was looking for a study buddy. And so then, everything kind of happens in its own time. So one person I reached out to responds, yes, another person can't any longer. They're no longer studying. Three more people see my post and reach out. And so I ended up starting a lot of a few Zoom sessions, and we all get on the Zoom, and folks of different levels around where I was at would meet with me on different days and whatnot. And so it really built into something that we're still doing now, and we plan to do until June.
That's awesome. Hopefully you can keep up those relationships even after you're all done with the LSAT and on to law school.
Yeah, we're trying to convince one of our Canadian study buddies to come and study in America, and maybe go to an American law school and whatnot. So we really do hope to continue the relationships after the LSAT.
That's great. Cool. Yeah, you also mentioned taking a break was critical. And did you feel at all like you were rusty when you came back, or did you just feel rested?
Yeah, I never scored higher. I think some of my best scores, some of the heights of my range at that time came from the times immediately after. You don't forget. There's no way to forget. In fact, it's scary how you cannot forget. There's nothing to forget, though, in a way, right? It's not a knowledge-based test. It's all these skills. And so you take some time off and you come in, and what does rusty look like? It's more or less you come back, you have fresh energy, you're reading reading comp with interest, and you're aggressive against LR, and you just got that bit of energy. It's been a while. You want to do it. You're surprised. You might be surprised with how happy or excited you are to return to it, something that might have seemed so dreadful a while ago. And so it's just kind of like with anything, you've just got to take a step back so you could appreciate it again.
Nice. You're also an ask button hero for the demon. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, the behind the scenes world of Ask Button Hero has been incredible. So hopefully folks have benefited from the different help I've offered. But Ask Button has been amazing, because what it's allowed me to do is another way besides the Zoom calls with some folks on Discord to keep thinking about questions. But the thing that surprised me the most is you really can't anticipate the kinds of questions. Like, we're all thinking about, we could all, 100 of us could sit in a room and think about an LR question and have completely different thoughts in what's two or three sentences, and what stands out or what didn't stand out, or how we interpreted a word or whatever. And so it just taught me, just breathe. It's okay. Some of them might come naturally, some of them might come quickly, some of them might not come at all anytime soon. You might really need to ponder on it. And everyone's just kind of coming from where they're starting. And so wherever I am, it's not strange or anything. So it gave me a lot of confidence, honestly.
Yeah, you're completely right about people asking unexpected questions, and sometimes the questions that you get make you realize that you didn't understand the question that well yourself. You would not have thought to ask that question, but it's a good question to ask. Do you feel that that made you a stronger at the LSAT?
Yeah, by far. By far. It's another extension. You might have heard on the YouTube or on the Reddit or these other sources of information we probably turned to before we were all fully invested in the demon, but about sort of writing out your responses or speaking to someone about what you think an LR question means. It's on the level of that, but you're responding to someone's question, something that's an issue for another person. And so you thought you understood it because you understood the way you did, just as you just mentioned. But when you're confronted sort of against, all right, that's, oh, that's, you're usually what happens is someone will say something of, is this actually sufficient? And if you take the contrapositive of that sufficient condition, isn't that the answer? And it's like, wow, okay. So necessary versus sufficient here, that's not what's happening here. And then if you had the contrapositive, and we work all of that out, and then I have to sort of go through these steps in my head to make sure I'm, articulating it correctly, we still aren't where we need to be at, and here's why. And so there's just, you get a much more fuller experience with each LR question or RC passage or whatever it is. I think for RC, though, the confidence comes in. Usually I'm just repeating something that's in the passage or something, just kind of quotations and sharing the piece that kind of has the answer in it. And then I started thinking about why am I getting RC passage questions wrong? I'm missing, I'm clearly missing what's probably written right there. And it's given me the ability to kind of see that most of the time it's written right there in some kind of way.
Yeah, why do you think it is that you see it when you're addressing someone else's question, but not always when you're reading it for yourself? Because I've had the same experience.
Yeah, it's twofold for me at least. It's nerves, depending on what you're dealing with. If it's the I just got through the official LSAT today, and your mind can wander as you're going through it. Did I get that last one correct? Sometimes we're still thinking about the last question, and we can't see what's right in front of us. A lot of the times, maybe the last question on the passage refers to something in the beginning, and are you going to take that extra second to go back, double check, read the sentence before and after the one they quote, and really lock it down before you go to the next question? Or are you really feeling more or less pressed for time and you're going to just, all right, I think this is my best shot. I'm going to go to the next one, which is it's reading comp, right? You really got to make sure it's actually stated there. And then the other side of this is the less dramatic side. You've just been doing PTs or drilling or what have you for who knows how long, and the mind just goes dull after doing that over and over again. Hence the sort of the importance of breaks we mentioned earlier.
For sure. Do you have a favorite section of the test?
Yeah, LR, believe it or not. LR for sure, logical reasoning. It's fun. It just reminds me. So I just got my master's in public policy from the University of Chicago, and we were engaged in deep conversation about what's good policy and what's good data to use to for policymakers to use and in order to make their decision and advocate for things we care about, the environment, different social reform. And LR is just so awesome because you get these little vignettes, these little arguments that are terrible, and you can really just it get full enjoyment of just reading ridiculous argument after ridiculous argument and tearing it apart for what it is. And so I get a lot of joy from that, similar to probably how someone gets if they really consider logic games to be like a game and like, all right, cool, I'm going to play this game and just enjoy myself for 35 minutes. So that's my section for sure.
Is public policy work what you want to get into? Is that why you're heading to law school?
Yeah, definitely. I think sort of with the experiences I've had, in San Francisco, I was working with people experiencing homelessness for a number of years. And what I want to do, or what I saw there at that time, was sort of nonprofits and a lot of different organizations that had really good missions and focuses and or whatnot. And but then a city hall that was kind of a bit distant and had different prerogatives and whatnot. And so I always wanted to wonder, I always wondered what would sort of allow me to show up in City Hall and have conversations that cross these lines, these boundaries, and communicated what we were seeing on the streets with what needed to change in actual policy. And so far, the policy degree has been fantastic in terms of looking at, how do we measure poverty? How do we measure childhood education and the outcomes from that, and make sensible policy that moves the needle forward in those areas. I think law sort of takes it a step further to what are the actual systems that actually place these changes into sort of a long-term permanent part of a society. And so figuring out, where the law ought to be and whatnot. And so
That's great. Is San Francisco home?
no, Chicago's home. I'm from Chicago. I'm
Okay.
here now, born and raised, but I did get the opportunity to go out to San Francisco and do some work there. I've done some work here, working on economic development on the South Side and working with folks getting jobs in manufacturing in different areas to sort of get out of joblessness and into something that will help them gain some higher economic mobility for their families and for the communities that we're involved in. So
For
that's
sure.
the background and work that I do.
So you think you'll stick in Chicago, or you just kind of seeing where law school might lead you?
Yeah, definitely where law school might lead me. I'm not too sure at all. I have no idea what will happen after law school. So first is to find out where law school will be, and second will be where's the career going to start after that? But I'm open to some other places.
like we say in the logic games, baby steps. Baby steps, one thing at a time.
Definitely.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Marvin. It's been a pleasure chatting. It's great to have you on the team. Looking forward to just getting to know you and work with you more through the Ask button and hopefully elsewhere in the daemon. Any last words of advice for those listening? Maybe someone who's where you were a few months back, some things that you'd like them to know about finishing up their LSAT journey?
For sure. I think it's been said enough that this could take, it could take time. It could take anywhere from a month to a couple of months or whatnot. But going back to that sort of chess analogy we were talking about earlier, the gains are going to come when those skills, those understandings reach a sort of internal place to whereas you can access them quickly and it feels natural. And one thing that, the folks in my group, we've all had our PTs cross over into the 170s pretty consistently now, is how fun it is on the other end. I mean, there's just less to review. You can see things so quickly. And so, like, don't give up because there's actually far more joy. Like, get good at this. Get good at this game and have a lot of fun doing it. It's within, I think, most people's reach for sure. It just takes time and don't give up.
Awesome. Thanks, Marvin. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me, Eric.
Email daily at lsatdaemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.